Okay. Leviticus chapter 10 is where we're going to be looking this morning, particularly at the first part of the chapter. Again, we're on our journey, following along the nation of Israel on their journey from Egypt to Canaan. And of course, most of that journey, the great majority of that journey, was spent in the wilderness. And we've been in the wilderness for quite a while. We've worked our way into Leviticus. We looked several weeks ago at the offerings God said, "This is what I desire for you to give to me." Three of those were voluntary. Two of those were mandatory. We've also been looking somewhat at the priesthood. And we've seen that Aaron was the high priest, and of course he represents for us the Lord Jesus according to the book of Hebrews. And we've also seen that Aaron's sons help symbolize us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you're in that, if you can put yourself, you don't put yourself, but if you recognize that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've trusted Him alone for forgiveness of your sins because He died for you as your substitute, acceptable to God, and was raised from the dead. If you have turned to Him from yourself and your sin and you've received Him as Savior, then you are a priest. We saw that in 1 Peter 2, verses 5 and 9. And so the book of Leviticus really speaks of that priesthood and how they were to operate, how they were to function as a priesthood. And so we're going to get here in chapter 10. We're going to be looking at part of a narrative. And we're just going to start out and we're going to read the first two verses. And then I'm going to give you a little background and we're going to work our way through some thoughts here in chapter 10. Leviticus 10 in the first verse says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Give a little bit of background here. We see two men. They're not children. They are sons, but they are not children. They're adults. Nadab, the oldest son of Aaron. Abihu, the second son of Aaron. Aaron had four sons. And here we have two of them mentioned in this verse. And again, they have just been consecrated, set apart. And we see that in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Leviticus. We read some instructions about it back when we were in the book of Exodus. But now we find that in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Leviticus, that this family is actually instituted. They are placed into this role of priest, those who draw near to God as representatives. And so in that role, they have just gone through a very exciting time in chapter 9. In chapter 8, they were prepared. In chapter 9, they begin to bring the sacrifices which would be on their behalf as they came into this very special role in the nation of Israel, that of priests, that of those who draw near. God has in a mighty way, which we'll see in just a minute, He sent down fire from heaven to consume offerings that Aaron had placed on the altar. Again, we have been through already in the book of Exodus. We've seen the way that the tabernacle was set up, and we've seen the courtyard, and we've seen the different pieces of furniture and what they can represent for us today. And so Nadab and Abihu, as this came to somewhat of a conclusion, and they have been chosen, they have been anointed into the priesthood under their father, we find that they come in verse 1 of chapter 10, and they take their censers. Now again, the censer was a small container, a metal container, in which they could put some coals with fire, and then that would of course be smoking, and they could put incense on that. Here you have in the picture a piece of furniture that we've already looked at, the altar of incense, which was in the first room of the two rooms of the tabernacle, the holy place. This was right in front of the veil, right in front of the curtain, right before the high priest one day of the year would go into that most holy place. He would be right by this altar of incense. And we find here that they took their censers, They put fire in their censers. They had the coals, the fire going. They put some incense on there. But they offered what is referred to here as strange fire before the Lord. And we see in verse 2 the response of Jehovah. A very serious response. We see that fire came out from the Lord and devoured them. Their lives were taken. That word strange, if you go through the Old Testament and you consider that Hebrew word that's translated strange, you'll find that it's used as an adjective to describe a number of different things. Strange gods, a strange land, a strange nation, strange women, strange wives, strange waters, a strange language, strange works, strange apparel, and strange things. The word really brings across the thought as you think about it in those different contexts. It's the thought of what doesn't belong, what is inappropriate. Again, we saw a little bit humorously in our introduction some things that we considered, and one of them didn't belong there. One of them was strange. It shouldn't have been in that grouping. And here we have what is described as strange fire. And these men, in offering this strange fire in their role as priesthood, as priest, God took that very seriously. And we find that in this case, He chose to take their lives because of what they had done. Again, these things are written for our learning. They're not written for our entertainment. They're written for our learning. They're written that we might be warned. They're written that we might be instructed. They're written that we might be benefited in our own journey as we walk as believers in the Lord Jesus throughout the wilderness of this world. As we go and face many difficulties, and face many struggles, and many temptations, and we face the world which is trying to shape us into its thinking, we can learn. The first thing that we would like to consider together this morning is just probably the question that is on many minds. What was the strange fire? What was the strange fire? And that's not completely clear. The commentators themselves are not in agreement on exactly what the strange fire, the inappropriate fire, the fire that did not belong, exactly what that was. There are a number of possibilities. I personally believe that God left this somewhat vague for a purpose, because I think there are a number of applications depending on which angle we take. And so we're going to look at a number of them that could have made this an inappropriate fire as they presented it. First of all, the thing that would come most logically to our minds is that the fire itself, they had the wrong power source. The wrong power source, this fire which was going to burn up the incense and cause the smoke to rise up to God, that they had the wrong power source, the fire itself. Now, back in Leviticus chapter 6, where we were looking several weeks ago, we read concerning the fire that was on the altar that was out in the courtyard. You remember the large altar, the altar of burnt offering, where the animals would be offered. We read concerning that in verse 12 of Leviticus 6, that the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. This was a fire that was not to go out. In Leviticus chapter 9, we read in verse 23, if you'll just look back several verses from where we began this morning, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." And it could very well be that in that fire coming from before the Lord, that wood was lit for the first time possibly, and that fire was not to go out. They were to keep that fire going, and when they moved from one location to another, they would still keep some of those coals and keep that fire going. And we see in Leviticus 16, where we'll get to possibly next week, we see that the priest was to take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and he would go in to that altar of incense. And there was some of that fire from that altar of burnt offering, he would offer up incense to God. So it could be that they got the fire itself from the wrong place. Maybe they said, hey, I got a fire over here in my tent. And you know, I don't want to get up there near that burnt offering fire. Look, this will be a lot quicker if we just grab this fire over here. That could have been it, that it was the actual fire, the power source itself that did not belong. But of course, when we speak of a fire, and we speak of that offering of the incense, it could be that God, in calling that a strange fire, was in essence calling that a strange offering by fire. Possibly the problem was that they had the wrong material to go with that fire. We were looking there at that picture of the altar of incense. And we read about that back in Exodus chapter 30. And in verse 9 of Exodus 30, here's what the Lord says. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon. No strange incense, no incense that does not belong. And God gave Moses a particular recipe to make that incense that was to be offered. He said, don't let anybody else make any of this incense. It's not to be used for any other purpose, only for being burnt before the Lord. It's for Him. It's not for anybody else. And it could be that Nadab and Abihu said, hey, we have some good incense here. And you know, I've been working on this concoction, and I think this would smell beautiful to God, and the people would enjoy it. Let's burn this incense. Possibly they had the wrong material, and that's what made that fire inappropriate. It could have also been that it was the wrong person. The wrong person. We read again back in Exodus chapter 30 that Aaron shall burn their own sweet incense. Aaron was the one who was to bring that incense and to offer it. Now, it could have been that he was speaking of Aaron there as representative of all the priests, or possibly of the high priest. But it could have been that they shouldn't have been doing it anyway, that was their father's responsibility. That's an option, a possibility. Another possibility was that they had the wrong timing. Again, we read in Exodus chapter 30 that Aaron shall burn on the altar of incense, sweet incense, every morning when he dressed the lamps. When he would go in to fix the lampstand and to make sure there was enough oil there and the wick was proper and it was burning, then that was when he was to burn that incense. And then the same passage tells us every evening when he would go in to light the lamps for that night. Possibly they had the wrong timing. There are some who have suggested that they had the wrong motive. Look at verse 3. Look what Moses says to their father. Now you can just imagine their father's response to this. Here he and his sons have just been inaugurated into this very special role. And on that very day, it was the eighth day, seventh day, 7 days of preparation. And on that eighth day, here his two oldest sons are struck dead. You can imagine what was going through his mind. Moses speaks to Aaron. Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. It's a great responsibility to approach God, because others are watching. And God says, I will be glorified. And possibly it was that these men went in there wanting the attention, because everybody was watching. Everybody was in awe. Everybody had just fallen on their faces and shouted because what they saw, with that fire coming from before the Lord and consuming those sacrifices miraculously. Maybe they thought, hey, this would be a great time to be in the spotlight. Possibly they had the wrong motive. Possibly they had the wrong enthusiasm. Again, maybe they were excited about all they had seen over the past 8 days, and especially this 8th day. But also, look down in verse 8. Now, after this happens, after this event occurs, look at verse 8. The only time that we read of the Lord speaking directly to Aaron. And the Lord said unto Aaron, the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout all your generations, and that ye may put difference or make a distinction between holy and unholy, and between clean and unclean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes of which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Maybe their enthusiasm was actually caused by a foreign substance. Some believe that they were intoxicated when they went in. And in their intoxicated state, their enthusiasm was an enthusiasm that did not come from the proper source, but rather from an alternative source. One other option that we'll consider this morning is the possibility that the strange fire was inappropriate and out of place and did not belong because they had a wrong attitude. We read at the end of verse 1 here in Leviticus 10 that they offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. God had given instruction. God had told them what to do. God had been very specific. But maybe they thought, no, I've got a good idea. I know a better way, or a way that's just as good, or surely ought to be acceptable to God. Maybe they didn't respect God's design. So again, it's not completely clear. It could have been one of these. It could have been a number of these. It could have been all of these. Could have been true concerning that strange fire. But again, these things are written for our learning, not just so we might be curious and wonder, well, I wonder which one it was. I wonder what was the strange fire. I wonder what made it out of place, inappropriate. I wonder why God responded as He did. What could be our strange fire? Could there be a strange fire in our lives? You know, the context, the thought here is of drawing near to God, of approaching God as priest. Again, we read that in verse 3 here. As the Lord said, I will be sanctified in them that come near me. Those who have the privilege to draw near to me, I will be sanctified in them. It's a wonderful liberty that we have in this age of grace. We don't have to be a part of Aaron's family, or none of us would be qualified to approach God. That was under the law, under the Levitical system. But now the Lord Jesus has come, and by Him grace and truth have come. And we are able, in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and being born again and forgiven of our sins and made new creations in Christ, we are able to approach God. We have the freedom, the liberty to do that. Paul tells the Galatians in Galatians 5:13, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, unto freedom. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You know, I would suggest that those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, we are on display. We're on display. People are watching. And if we have proclaimed that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then people are watching us. They see our lives. Other Christians see our lives. Unbelievers see our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul talks about the unbeliever who may come in among the believers and the response that he or she may have depending on what they see there. And in Paul's heart was that they would fall down on their faces and worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. People are watching. But not only are people watching, Paul's same letter to the church at Corinth tells us in chapter 11 that the angels are watching. The angels are watching. They're watching as we function together. They're watching as we function in the world. They're watching we who have lives that are able to draw near to God and to offer up that incense to Him. We looked at the altar of incense and we considered together that altar and that incense that rose up as prayers. Both the prayers of intercession and also the prayers of adoration and worship. And you know, our lives should in essence be prayers. They should be going up, rising up before God. The incense ascending. The incense of the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ should be ascending. And others should see that. And the angels should see that. We talked a number of weeks ago about the offerings that we as priests in this age can bring. God tells us that we're to bring the offering of ourselves, our person, Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. The person and work of the Lord Jesus lived out through our lives. As we allow Him to be seen, to be on display before others and before the angels, as we offer ourselves up and that incense of the Lord Jesus arising out of our lives is seen. We saw from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18 that we can offer the sacrifice of our possessions. Paul said that he had received the things sent from them, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Our material goods, placing them before God as stewards, giving as Christ gave Himself. And then that offering, that sacrifice of praise in Hebrews 13:15. By Him, by the Lord Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That's the fruit of our lips, confessing His name. We have a wonderful privilege. What an opportunity to let our lives ascend up to God. But in that, there's the danger of a strange fire, of something that does not belong. I'd like to encourage you to hold your place here, but to go to the New Testament, we'd like to consider a couple things. First, in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Nadab and Abihu had this privilege of approaching God, and they had a great responsibility because others were watching, and God said, I will be sanctified by those who draw near. I will be glorified before others. I will be glorified. But Nadab and Abihu brought a strange fire, something that did not belong. Some have called that will worship. Will worship. In other words, of their own will, of their own decision, of their own desire, of their own determination, they said, I will bring this fire. I will get it from this source. I will put this incense there. I will go at the time I want to. I will go whether I'm supposed to or not. I'll go with this attitude. I'll go with that enthusiasm. I'll go with this other goal rather than what God commanded. Look down in Colossians 2, beginning at verse 16. Colossians 2:16. Speaking to Christians, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body or the substance is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. And humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. The King James, if you have that translation, as you notice there, it speaks of will worship. There are a number of other translations of that. It's interesting, the New American Standard Bible translates that self-made religion. Self-made religion. Now, we recognize how those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ make their own religion. They're trying to reach God somehow. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, you're trying to get to heaven. You're trying to get to God somehow. And maybe being here is a part of that. I don't know. But that idea of a self-made religion. But you know what? Believers in the Lord Jesus can also be guilty of self-made religion, of will worship. Paul warns about several things right here in the passage we just read. In verses 16 and 17, he warns about rituals. Those things that are shadows rather than the Lord Jesus that cast the shadow. And he said, back there in the Old Testament, those things you're studying, they were pictures for today. And the Lord Jesus is the light, and they were just the shadows that were cast from who He is to point us forward to the Lord Jesus. And sometimes those ritualistic things seem spiritual and holy, and people are drawn to that, and they believe that that is approaching God. God has left us ordinances. We're to remember His Son in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. We're to be baptized as identification with Him visually in His death, burial, and resurrection. But there are so many things that have been added, that have been taken and misunderstood from the Old Testament, and man-made traditions added on, and people feel spiritual. They feel religious when they do these rituals. Paul said, watch out for that. Choose Christ. Choose the real thing, not the rituals. And then in verses 18 and 19, there are religious experiences. Those things, again, that make us feel good, that may even relieve our consciences, that we feel like we can go through in our own lives. Maybe they're not in the Bible. Maybe God doesn't talk about them. Maybe God even says they're not for today. But yet I feel so spiritual and holy and religious when I do these things and when I have that experience. And I know what the Bible says, but I had this experience. Paul says, don't choose experience over the head. You hold to the head, which is Jesus Christ. Verses 20 to 22. He said, be careful, because you can also have that will worship, that self-made religion in rules, commandments, and human teachings. I can measure that. If I can make up a set of rules here if I can hit those rules and I'm spiritual and I'm holy and I'm religious, I can handle that. I see the rules, I'll check them off, I'm doing okay. He said, be careful. Be careful. Choose rather that death with Christ. Dead. Dead to measuring ourselves by human measurements, but rather allowing the Lord Jesus, who died and rose again, to live through our lives. Paul says there's an appearance of wisdom in will worship. And probably before Nadab and Abihu were struck dead, I'm sure the people were probably impressed. Wow, look at Nadab. Look at Abihu. Look at them. I'm sure it was very impressive. There's an appearance of will worship, of wisdom rather, in will worship. We don't have time to go and to look in Acts chapter 5, but you may remember the story, most of you do, about Ananias and Sapphira. Nadab and Abihu were struck dead in the Old Testament under the law, and we say, woo, I'm glad I'm not under the law. And we are. But Ananias and Sapphira in the age of grace, the church age, we read that they sold some property. They agreed together, we're going to give this much to the Lord. We're going to bring it to the apostles and we're going to give it to them, but we're not going to tell them we're going to keep a percentage back for ourselves. Let's let them think we gave the whole thing. The Bible says they lied to God, the Holy Spirit. And we see that God snuffed their lives out. Ananias came in. Peter rebuked him. Ananias died. Sapphira came in a little bit later. Again, Peter confronted her. The Lord struck her dead. God is serious. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there in the church at Corinth, believers, because of their attitude toward the Lord's Supper, Paul said, you know, some of you are sick because of that. Now, not everybody that's sick among you Corinthians is because of that, but some of you are sick because of that, and some of you have died because of that. God is serious about those of us who draw near to Him. And what about us? As we examine our lives, what about us? Are we seeking to worship God and give our lives to Him in worship and all that we have to Him in worship and our praise to Him in worship? Are we seeking to do that, but are we doing so from the wrong power source? Are we acting in the power of the flesh? Philippians 3:3 reminds us that we should be those who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. If we try to do the work of God and we try to do it in our own strength apart from the Holy Spirit, it's hopeless, it's wasted. And it doesn't mean that God is going to take our lives. And it doesn't mean that God is going to make us sick. It doesn't mean that God is going to send down fire to consume us. But it means that God is disappointed. And we're sinning. We try to do that in the flesh. When we offer the wrong material, when our lives, even as believers, are focused on us, and the attention is on us rather than on the Lord Jesus, who is to be the incense, then we're offering up strange fire. That's inappropriate. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He said, my life's about the Lord Jesus. That offering that's going up to God is the Lord Jesus. It's not me. It's the Lord Jesus living through me. That could bring us right into the thought of the wrong person. Putting the preeminence on humans rather than the preeminence on the Lord Jesus. Colossians 1:18, Paul says that in all things, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the body, the head of the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Is He the focus of my worship? Is He the focus of my drawing near to God? Is He the focus of why I'm living my life? If not, I'm offering strange fire to God. It does not belong. It's inappropriate. And God takes that seriously. Maybe it's a matter of wrong timing. Maybe some of us think that, you know, my spiritual responsibility is taken care of when I come to this meeting or to meetings. That's the spiritual part of my life. Or maybe we even extend it out to a time of daily devotions. But you know what? That's not what God says. We read Hebrews 13:15 earlier. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's God's desire, not just a compartment set apart for Him. And then maybe the motive needs to be examined in our lives. Are we pursuing personal glory and attention? Remember what Moses said to Aaron. The Lord spake before all the people, I will be glorified. That's true of the New Testament too, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 29. That in His flesh, that no flesh, no human being should glory in His presence. In His presence. We shouldn't seek the glory. That is so natural. This flesh, our world, the devil who said, I will. All of them are working together to cause us to lift up ourselves even in the things of the Lord. Maybe a wrong enthusiasm. An excitement from the flesh and not by the Spirit. Maybe a wrong attitude. Thinking, I know God says this, but... I know God says this, but... God has given us... Now, we don't have the kind of specific instructions to the detail that they had in the nation of Israel because we have the Spirit of God living within us. But God still has given us instructions about how we are to function as a local assembly and how we are to function as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we think we don't have to go by what He says, if we think, well, I know the Bible says that, but... then we're offering strange fire to God. That's inappropriate. That does not belong. What does God say? In John chapter 4, he said, the Lord Jesus said, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. And we don't have time to go through that. But I think if we think about that, the work of the Holy Spirit, ministering to our spirit, and we responding to Him and allowing the life of the Lord Jesus to be lived through us, and in the truth of the Word of God, and us basing our lives upon the Word of God, and that being the measuring stick, and that being the direction of our lives, and the director of our lives, if we worship in spirit and in truth, it'll take care of that wrong fire. But we may need to do some examination. I want to warn you, the temptation might be, if that's what it's about, I'll just sit back and do nothing. I'm not going to take a chance. That's not God's desire. That's not God's design. That's not God's plan. Your life is to be an offering. Sweet, the sweet incense of the Lord Jesus coming out of all of our lives. No matter who you are, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how mature or immature you feel you are in the things of God, He desires for our lives to be a sweet-smelling fragrance unto Him, not a strange fire. May we examine our hearts. May we thank the Lord that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is desiring. God's heart is for that worship to rise up from your life and from your lips. God said, I'm willing to forgive. If you'll come through my Son, I'm willing to forgive and to cleanse, to direct you in the right way. I'd love to talk with you more about this if we could be a help. Any of the elders here, anyone that you respect in the things of the Lord, we would love to help you and guide you in these things. How important that we as an assembly offer up that sweet smelling fragrance to God, the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks today again for Your Son. He is the focus. He is the one who said when we would meet together in His name, He would be in the midst. Father, we thank You that He's here this morning. Father, I thank You that You care about us so much. You teach us, You warn us from those narratives of old. And Father, Nadab and Abihu, whose lives were taken because of offering that strange fire of approaching You, Father, in a way that was inappropriate. Father, we pray that we would come before You in reverence. Father, we would come before You in thanksgiving. We would come before You in joy. We would come before You in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know You are well pleased with Him. Father, we commend ourselves to You. Lord, You know our hearts. Father, those of us who know You, You know that we want to please You. We want to honor You. We want our lives to go up before You as a sweet-smelling savor. Lord, show us where we are wrong. Show us where we have gotten off course. Show us where we are offering strange fire. Father, may we be faithful to come to You in repentance and confession. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You that You want to use us. We love You and pray in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.